Final 16th to go. Program Trading. Here's Integration storming down the crown of the track. Program Trading, Integration. Integration getting the better of Program Trading. What a training and job by Shook McGay. Integration. One and a length and a half to Virginia Derby.
Hey, I'm just a proud guy, man. I got to win a big one in Virginia, man. It's about time.
Powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Summer is over. Not officially, but the meet at Colonial Downs is over, and what a sensational meet it was. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. Kendrick Carmouche, the winning jockey of the Virginia Derby, aboard Integration, second-time starter, winning the Virginia Derby last week at Colonial Downs, concluding a sensational nine-week meet. I mean, the weather largely was tolerable. It held up. Two days of racing got postponed for heat. That got made up. One day of racing off the turf, and everything else was, by the time the Virginia Derby came around, it was just a great meet. Thanks for joining us on Off to the Races. In a few moments, we'll have Daryl Wood on Off to the Races. While one meet closes, another one opens. Opening day at Shenandoah Downs up at Woodstock. Shenatoga, as we call it. And on today's show, we'll have plenty about the race meet at Shenatoga, and Steve Wetzel will join us. He's a new owner, new trainer, new driver even to the harness racing world, and Harrison Berg tuning in with us in the valley, Woodstock just up the road. We got one of your own. We got a guy by the name of Wetzel in the Valley as a guest on our show. I just want all the Wetzels in the Valley to listen to it, because that'll probably double our ratings right there. Wetzel, a very prominent name in the Valley. And Steve Wetzel will join us at the conclusion of the show. Daryl Wood, as I mentioned in a few moments, the winning trainer of the Virginia Derby, Shug McGahee, has a horse in the Baltimore, Washington International at Pimlico today. He'll join us here in about 10 minutes or so. Frank Vespi is living the dream, and we'll talk to him about the meet, some thoughts on the meet. Debbie Easter, he interviewed up on the Baltimore show of Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com, and Frank will have his some insight. But, yeah, today broadcasting from Richmond. First time ever in the studio here at ESPN Richmond. So happy to be interviewing here. Got a special event up the road, the Stag Creek Derby. A little bit, not too late to enter the Stag Creek Derby, where basically it's a duck race for ponies that we do up there in Stag Creek. Hopefully it's not Stagnant Creek. They got enough water this week to get a little bit of flow. Otherwise, I expect that track to be slow. But, yeah, a great cause there for the James River Horse Foundation. And post time for the Stag Creek Derby is at noon today. But from, I'm sure, a very, very cool upper Shenandoah Valley this morning, Daryl Wood now joins us on Off to the Races. Daryl, good morning. Did you have to bring a jacket when you went out to the track this morning?
Oh, no, no. Shorts and a collared shirt. It's actually gorgeous. The sun is beating down. It's probably in the high 60s now on the way to 80. So we got just a tremendous weather for opening day here in Woodstock. And, Nick, the good news, having announced races for years and years, is that when the track is slow, it's easier on the announcer because they don't go as fast. So
easier to pick up those horses, and hopefully I'll have a clean line of sight broadcasting from the Stag Creek Bridge later today. Maybe not so easy for the track announcer at Shenandoah Downs this morning or later today, where full fields, 12 race card. There's a lot to sort through for the track announcer there.
Yeah, a lot of great support actually from the horsemen for opening weekend here. Probably the best we've had in 8 years, so kudos to them. We got a full barn area. Just left saying hi to all the horsemen that are here supporting the meet this weekend. So it's great. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's as you know, and some of the listeners, very scenic out here and kind of a charming old school place. But yeah, full 8-horse fields for all 12 races. So quite excited for the kickoff here.
Collared shirt for you today, but that may not be the case for many of your fans coming to the racetrack. Free admission, right? Free admission, free parking every day of the meet.
Always, yeah. Yeah, just like Colonial. You know, free. We don't have the amenities Colonial Downs has when you get to levels 3 and 4, obviously. But now it's free gates and family-friendly. And, you know, it's a neat we're right in the middle of wine country and craft beer country and hiking country. So there's a lot to do out this way if listeners want to come down for the day or for the weekend. But we're right at exit 283 off Interstate 81, and you can hear the crowd from JMU's football stadium on occasion, too, when they do well.
Yeah, kind of canyons up the valley there, echoing off the Appalachian and Blue Ridge mountains there. Let's talk maybe a little bit about the meet that just concluded. The meet at Colonial Downs ended with you know, it's hard to even say it was soggy because the track would never got below firm on that closing day, despite a little bit of rain. It can take a little bit of rain. But the racing was fabulous. A lot of good results. A good day for Trevor McCarthy coming back to Colonial Downs. But the headliner was Integration.
Yeah, really fun day last Saturday. Boy, and who would have thought that the Derby would have been run nearly under the lights when it was planned out here with a 1:30 start time. But yeah, it was great to see six stakes races. I think last week, though, come the first race, there was more people in the house than there was at the peak of Arlington Million Day 4 weeks prior. And just to feel the energy of the crowd last Saturday for that first race was just great. You saw a lot of college age kids dressed up. It almost had a Strawberry Hill feel to it. You had people of all ages, but the funny thing was I forgot the distance. It was either mile and an eighth or mile and a 16th, but the horses literally left the starting gate, past the grandstand 5 seconds later, and the crowd just erupted, you know, almost thinking it might be the finish in a short quarter horse race. But obviously they went around again, and it was a lot of fun. It was just a lot of energy. The rain did come and kind of dampened it a little bit, but still a great day overall.
Yeah, how about your thoughts just for the meet? Where do you build off of this? 27 days of racing, the switch to the weekends did not have, even though going up against Laurel and Saratoga didn't have maybe just a small downtick. The safety record was immaculate, which says a lot about Harrison Young and Ken Brown, who unfortunately were losing to Laurel, but it's just a short drive down 95 in case we need them. What do you kind of make coming out of the meet? What does Colonial do for an encore?
Well, I think you kind of said it with the safety aspect. I know the state vet, Ada Carruthers, called Monday morning and just wanted to not brag, but wanted to make sure the word got out around the country about how safe this meet was, both from horses on the dirt and turf. And it was just so great over those 9 weeks to hear the zero casualty factor. And the meet itself, Saturday, said just a lot of energy and a lot of buzz, big crowds. The weekdays are still weekdays in the summer afternoons. But betting-wise, you would hope that over the last couple of years running on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Colonial maybe built a fan base around the country that was going to follow the races, whether they be run on the weekends or even evenings at some point. So I think it was a really successful meet. Great to see crowds there on Saturday, though. There's nothing like being in New Kent trackside, holding a beverage and having a couple bucks on a horse and just hearing the crowd as the horses turn for home.
Well, there's only one thing like it, and you're there today. So that's at Shenandoah Downs doing the same thing. Daryl, have a great opening day today at Shenatoga, and looking forward to catching up. listeners will want to listen to the story about Steve Wetzel. Just a real nice interview.
Great story. Yeah. He's got five horses in today, and I just talked to him here a few minutes ago, and he's on cloud nine, ready for his biggest day as a horseman today.
I saw where one of them was even favored in an eight-horse field. So, yeah, he's come on quickly. Daryl, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week. Great leadoff.
Good stuff, Nick. Thank you, as always.
Great. Daryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races. We were talking about that Virginia Derby, and, just this field just held together really well. We did have two scratches that we announced yesterday on the show. Freedom Trail and Laurel Valley were scratches in the race, but so they did have a field of nine. This was a race where we were going to see if Gigante was, or the Spanish pronunciation, Gigante, was going to sweep Colonial's Twin Turf for three-year-olds, and didn't get a whole lot of respect. He was 9-1. Not a great price on this horse. Not getting a whole lot of love. Program Trading absolutely was, with Flavian Pratt and Jason Beam, who called races at Colonial Downs throughout the entire meet, has the call of the Virginia Derby.
They turn to the top of the stretch. Runaway Storm, Salute the Stars. They've been 1-2 throughout. Program Trading swinging into action on the outside. Mondego found a seam down at the two path as Runaway Storm leads them. Here's Program Trading kicking into gear down the outside. Mondego going to try to go with that one. Integration is also warming up nicely on the far outside. Final 16th to go. Program Trading. Here's Integration storming down the crown of the track. Program Trading, Integration. Integration getting the better of Program Trading. What a training and job by Shug McGay. Integration. One at a length and a half. The Virginia Derby.
Yeah, Runaway Storm setting the pace there, but it was Integration who basically followed Program Trading. I was watching both of those horses, and Program Trading made his move kind of going into the turn for home, and Integration just came off his hip and basically followed him around and went from, it was as far back as seventh in the field, but got up for the win. And Kendrick Carmouche, this was quite a celebration in the winner's circle at Colonial Downs after the race. And we'll have a little bit of that in just a moment with West Point. But this is what Kendrick Carmouche had to say about winning the Virginia Derby.
I just tucked in going around the turn, and once I got down the backside, I think the gray horse for George Ruiz started moving, and I just let him go. And by the time we got to the quarter pole, I wanted to get to him before he swung out on me and make me go too wide. And, man, once my horse felt a little touch from his horse, he just wanted to just run all out. And, man, I just had to guide him there. You know, Shug McGahee and West Point and Woodford Stables. I'm just proud that they shipped me here today to be successful at Colonial Downs in my first Virginia Derby. How you gonna beat it, baby? Louisiana in the house.
You know this track though. You used to ride.
I've been here. I used to come here for David Ross and Mike Stidham, Mike Pino, all these guys. I've been here a lot of years. Maybe 15 years ago, 12 years ago, I've been here. But hey, man, over is a over if you got the horse to win on it. That's the way I look at it.
It looked like you were following Program Trading.
I thought Chad Horse was the best horse in the race. I thought when he would accelerate, I could have do the same thing. I just wanted to make sure I was close enough to him so he don't kick away from me so quick, and he didn't. And once I never saw him got away from me, I say it's all over from there.
Does this feel like a horse that only had the second race of his career?
You're talking about Shug McGahee, who get, I tell you what, he got a two-year-old to compete, you know, usually start him late. But with that being said, he got this horse here, 2-for-2. No telling where he can go with it. I just hope I get to follow the horse.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you the question you just answered.
There you go. And that's truthful, you know. So, you know, Shug knows. And I'm a proud guy, man. I got to win a big one in Virginia, man. It's about time.
Yeah, Kendrick, very happy about that win. His second win on the day for Shug McGahee. Shug McGahee has two wins on Colonial's big days. But that was absolutely a big one there. Integration, we'll talk to Shug here in a couple minutes, maybe as an idea of where this horse may be headed next. I was kind of surprised at just the price on that horse. Actually picked this Exacta on the Nick's Picks tip sheet. Hopefully you guys lined up and followed that play a little bit. Integration paid $15.40 for the win. Program Trading, the big favorite in the race, kind of weighed down the Exacta a little bit. $20.60 for the $1 Exacta. Trifecta with Runaway Storm getting in there, $324.40. So handle was pretty good on the day, 4.5 million, not exactly what they were hoping for. Certainly a hard act to follow after the Secretariat Stakes, but just a well-run card. And congratulations to those connections. West Point Thoroughbreds, they were literally dancing in the winner's circle after the race as Don Leinert, their marketing specialist who was there. This is how she explained their celebration after the race.
You probably got a good view of everybody and their unbridled enthusiasm, and that's really what it's about when people come and join racing partnerships with us. We get people that get really excited. We try to give them these types of experiences as they had today. I mean, the hospitality here was, like, fabulous. And they brought their friends, their family, and I just thought they were raising the trophy in jubilation. So it's really what we try to do. We try to put together partnerships so they can have these kind of experiences.
Yeah, for a moment there, I thought they were going to pull the Bob Baffert and put the trophy on their head upside down, as Baffert used to do when he won some of the Triple Crown races in the past. But it was just a great moment, literally dancing a full winner's circle in that Virginia Derby's winner's circle as well. So just a big crowd there, and really exciting moment for that. Shug McGahee picks up another Virginia Derby win. He won it with Air Support back in the first generation of Colonial Downs, and he won it last week with Integration, and we have him on Off to the Races this morning. Shug, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. Congratulations on what had to be a satisfying win. Certainly Jason Beam thought so, praising your training job of with the second time starter as he came through the stretch. Just a great job. Tell us a little bit about Integration and winning your second Virginia Derby.
Well, you know, we stretched it a little bit by running back, you know, off a maiden win, off one start. But he's kind of a horse that I always sort of liked. And he had some little things here and there, and so, you know, he was at Payson, and you know, then he was been at Fairhill, and no, then he was up here at Belmont, and then I sent him down to Fairhill. I said this might be a little bit gentler on him, and he really thrived down there. He liked the atmosphere, the tracks. I was able to breeze him on the Tapita. And, you know, I liked him a lot the first time I ran him. And, you know, he came out of it good. And I thought, well, why not take a shot? Yeah, so that's what we did. We took a shot and, you know, ran a spectacular race. You know, he's probably a little bit better than normal. But, you know, we'll just have to see. I mean, you know, the water's going to get deeper as we go, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that water getting a little deeper. Where is the deep water? Obviously, you know, everyone might be thinking Breeders' Cup. That date just keeps getting closer and closer to us. But where do you maybe go next with this horse? And, you know, what is the ceiling with this horse? It must be exciting to train a horse that you don't really know where the top is yet.
Well, that is true. You know, I don't really want to run him back like a mile and 16th, you know, another mile and eighth race. They used to have one here in October going a mile and eighth. I won it last year with Celestial City at Hill something. But they don't seem to have that this year, but I was kind of looking to see if maybe when we got over to Aqueduct, if they were going to have that race over there or something, because they've got that Belmont Derby, whatever the hell they call it, you know. And that's not an outside that's an outside possibility, but I'll have to wait. I mean, you know, he ran a strong race And, you know, it was kind of a funny day down there with the delay, weather delay, and all that kind of stuff. But he seemed to come out of it good. He got back to Fair Hill, and he's had his downtime, and he's back training, and all seems to be pretty good with him. But I have not decided where I'm going to run him.
What do you think? What do you think about the breeding of this horse? This Gigante comes in, wins the Secretariat Stakes. A lot's made about being a Virginia bred, supplementing to the race. Just a landmark win. This win was also pretty much a landmark win. If the late Ned Evans might have lived a little bit longer, almost assuredly this horse could have been a Virginia bred because Evans was a breeder. Certainly Quality Road was a Virginia bred horse. You know, what does sort of the breeding tell you about the path for this horse?
Well, Harmonize was a pretty good filly on the turf, and I mean obviously Quality Road, and so he's got a really good pedigree. I mean, they paid good money for him, and you know, so I think that, you know, he's bred to run on the grass. And, you know, I'm sure that's where we'll leave him. But, you know, he's got a strong pedigree. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll go on and live up to it in a lot more ways than he already has. But, you know, Harmonize, I saw him when he was a two-year-old and liked him. He was at Eddie Woods. And, you know, we'll just see where he takes us. I mean, you know, he's given us a big thrill twice already, and, you know, hopefully there'll be, you know, a lot more in his future. We'll just have to wait and see, but I think there will be.
You mentioned seeing Harmonize. Being the horseman that you are, the experience you have in your game, in this game, you've seen generations upon generations of horses now, but it still sort of goes back when you look at the Equibase readout for Claude McGahey the third. Top horse is still Easy Goer on that list. Take us back maybe to Easy Goer and just the decades of training horses. Did you ever think you'd be in it this long? And, you know, just the success you've had, whether it's Air Support or Orb or you know, any of these other horses that you've trained, Easy Goer still set a high mark early in your career.
Well, very much so. You know, I mean, he was kind of, between him and Personal Instant, they were both kind of career makers. And, you know, I don't think I'd be sitting in some of the spots I'm sitting in without them. But, you know, the Phipps has gave me a great opportunity, you know, back in the mid-'80s. And, you know, then when they kind of stand way back, way down when Mr. Phipps died and Denny Phipps, you know, we had to kind of go out and search a little bit. And some of the guys have been really, really good, like this Syndicate of Woodford and West Point and that bunch, you know, and giving me horses like him and horse like Perform. But, you know, I mean, did I think I'd still be doing it at my age? Yes. I was at a dinner one time with Mr. Phipps, and I asked him how long old Mr. Phipps, Sonny Jim, how old was he when he retired? He said, like, 86. I said, well, I ain't going to make it that long. So, but, you know, I mean, I still enjoy what I'm doing. I mean, the game's changed a whole lot, as you've seen. I don't really like a lot of the changes. But there's nothing I can do about it. And, you know, I think that if they would just kind of more or less leave us alone, I think we'd be a lot better shape than, you know, all this microscope that they're wanting to put us under. And it's almost like the veterinarians are training the horses anymore. And you know, I'm not that comfortable with that. You know, I mean, I feel like that most cases the trainer knows the horse a whole lot better than you know, veterinarian. I mean, they scratched my horse in Derby Day, Talk of the Nation. He's, you know, and he came back and he's been the second, and then he won the Gun Runner down there, you know. So I think that, you know, I mean, I shipped the horse from Belmont to Kentucky, and he was obviously fine when we shipped him. And I mean, Tyler told him, he was riding him and told him, said, "Listen, I want to ride this horse. There's nothing wrong with him." And you know, so I'm a little disappointed in some of that, and I was a little bit disappointed in not in a lot of what was going on at Belmont. I am in favor of them taking the building down, but yesterday I was riding around with Glenn Kozak out in the middle and sort of seeing firsthand of what they're doing here, and it's going to be, whenever they get it done, which they hope in the spring of 2026, it's going to be something to see. And but you know, like not as much this year, but last year it was a very big inconvenience because the main track, they were putting tunnels in, and they, you know, they had these holes in the track, so we couldn't train like we're usually trained. And I'm really used to Belmont Park. That's where I've always liked training and running the most. And last year I was a bit uncomfortable, but they didn't do that this year, so you know, that hadn't been a problem. And I don't mind going to Aqueduct. I'm used to it. I mean, when I first came to New York, they ran Aqueduct in July before we went to Saratoga. And, you know, every spring and fall we've had Aqueduct, and so I don't have a problem with that. But I do, you know, some of the changes that are made, I think that, you know, I think maybe some of it's been overdone.
Yeah, the HISA regulations. It's awfully hard to stand in the way of right, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, with the HISA, you know, we need a regulatory body, and I think that they'll probably eventually get everything right. I mean, they're just starting out, and you know, there's been a lot of curves thrown at them, and you know, there's been some mistakes made. But she said going in, she said, "We get this thing started, we're going to make some mistakes, and I just hope that in the long run they get all the mistakes smoothed out and maybe take a little bit of the pressure off of you know, off of us as trainers, that you know, we're maybe trusted a little more than they want to think we're trusted right now, because you know, the last thing anybody wants to do is see a horse get hurt, and, or really even kind of most people don't want to try to break the rules, and so just hopefully in the long run that between Lisa Lazarus and her advisors and her committees, that everything will settle down, and we'll look at it to where we've got a good regulatory body, and everything's going smooth.
Want to ask you two more before we let you go this morning. How was your experience at Colonial?
You know, I like riding Colonial. I like that turf course. I've run there on the dirt too. I've never been there, but I mean, obviously I watch it on TV, you know, a lot when I was there. I mean, I'm a big fan of Colonials, and I think the Churchill Downs owning it now, that it'll only get better and better. It'd be nice if Colonial and Maryland could kind of work out a summer circuit to where, you know, they weren't overlapping and hurting each other, and go from there, because it's, you know, I mean, I think that it's a great program. You know, and there's a lot of opportunities there. I mean, you know, I've ran 14, 15 horses there, I think, at this Colonial, and could be interested in maybe even next year running more. But, you know, the purses are good, and, you know, the races go on the turf, and, you know, I'm a big fan of it, and I think it'll probably expand and get bigger and bigger.
Smoking Tea is the favorite in the Baltimore Washington International Turf Cup, the old Colonial Turf Cup from Colonial Downs. What do you make of Smoking Tea's chances today?
Well, it just seems like to me every time we put the bridle on him and take him over, he runs good. He doesn't always win, but you know, his last race at Kentucky Downs was a really good race. Just got beat for $2 million. And, you know, I think coming down there, you know, going a mile, you know, over that fresh kind of turf course, I think he'll distinguish himself well. Whether that means winner or not, I don't know. But I think he'll be pretty tough.
Yeah, I think so, too. Shug, congratulations on the Virginia Derby win, and looking forward to seeing you and your horses. Come on down to Colonial. We got air conditioning.
Very good. All righty, thank you.
Great. Shug McGee joining us, winning trainer with Integration in last week's Virginia Derby. We're going to break, and when we come back, we got Frank Vespi, Debbie Easter, and Steve Wetzel on the other side. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com. And I just had to look up above
and thank somebody for this. Live Thoroughbred Horse Racing returns to Colonial Downs this summer starting July 13th. Catch all the action on Colonial Downs' nationally renowned Secretariat Turf Course every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Post time is 1:30 p.m. Colonial Downs Racetrack is open to all ages. Parking and general admission are free. Reserve grandstand seats start at just $5. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com.
Virginia's horse racing and horse breeding industry is built on the talent, skills, labors, and passions of incredible people working in all parts of the Commonwealth. Horses fuel the economy, power tourism, reinforce agriculture, and create jobs. From farmers to blacksmiths, trainers to vets, and racehorse staff to surrounding businesses, the local horse racing and breeding industry alone supports 5,300 jobs and has an overall impact of $542 million annually. Over 5,400 horses are owned by Virginians, and another 2,400 out-of-state horses are boarded at Virginia farms. Last year, over $4 billion was wagered on horse racing in Virginia. Learn more about this thriving agribusiness at virginiahorseracing.com. And be sure to enjoy the Colonial Downs Summer Thoroughbred Racing Season in New Kent, which runs from July 13th through September 9th, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 1:30.
Live racing at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races rolls on every Wednesday through Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern through March 1st and every Thursday through Saturday through the month of October. Mark your calendars for Friday, August 25th for the 15th renewals of the Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 $750,000 Charlestown Oaks, now the richest three-year-old Philly Sprint Stakes race in North America. So come see us here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Learn more at Hollywood Casino Charlestown.
Dropkick Murphys, Fall Tour 2023. October 1st, the King Pavilion in Charlottesville. With the Interrupters. And Jesse Ahern. Dropkick Murphys. Tickets on sale now at KingPavilion.com. Produced by Live Nation and Star Hill Presents.
And we're back on Off to the Races. James River Horse Foundation website. Give y'all. They also have an open house coming up in October. So, yeah, a couple events for this wonderful foundation, which aids retired racehorses and also people incarcerated, giving them a new look on life and seeing it firsthand. It is so symbiotic. It's just a wonderful program for both. On next on Off to the Races, next up, as I look over here at this wonderful computer that counts everything down for me, is let's hit the bumper music for our next guest here. That's Frank Vespi. He is living the dream. I guess you're at Pimlico today, aren't you, Frank?
I will be. I'm not there yet, but I will be a little bit later for sure. They got the Grade 3 BWI Turf Cup today and a whole bunch of other stakes. So a lot to do up at Pimlico today.
let's wrap up Colonial, just the meet. You were able to come down for the two big days. We'll have a little bit of your interview with Debbie Easter here in a moment, but just your thoughts on the meet and what you got to see on the, you know, having it bookend Timonium for you. You know, what were your thoughts on Colonial Downs, especially the big days?
Well, I think, you know, adding the Arlington Million and those races to the mix was a really, you know, it was a really cool thing for Colonial Downs. Obviously, the demise of Arlington Park is something that horse people are sad about, but the chance to get races like that in New Kent was very cool for Colonial and the Virginia people that stayed the course through all those years where there was no racing. So that was neat. And obviously having Gigante of Virginia bred win the Secretariat Stakes over the Secretariat Turf course in the state where Secretariat was born, you can't really make up a story like that. So that was very cool. And you know, the Virginia Derby and Virginia Oaks, that's all fun. And it was kind of neat to see, you know, Trevor McCarthy back in New Kent, where he was leading rider a couple times, see Kendrick Carmouche, who did a little bit of riding there over the years but hadn't been there in years, come back and win the Virginia Derby. So, I mean, it was good. It was good stuff. The stuff I saw was good stuff.
Yeah, very entertaining, whether you watched it on TV or in person. Debbie Easters of the Virginia Equine Alliance, the executive director, you had a chance to catch up with her yesterday. I think she agrees with you. This is what she had to say about the meet.
I think if you look at the overall high view of what happened at Colonial Downs this year, I'd say you have to – it was a pretty good success. I mean, are there things that we need to work on to make it better for the customer, the horseman, everything about it? There's sure there's things that we can work on, but you know, Churchill just took over. It's their first meet. I think the guys that are in charge of Colonial for Churchill at there at the racetrack and really do want to make it a better day, and we saw that with the Festival of Racing, the Arlington Million Day, and the Derby Day. Those two big days down there, they really made an effort to take our suggestions of how we were underserving our customers in the past by not being able to get them food or beverages or wagering. They really took some of our suggestions and tried to incorporate it into their new days. And I do think we served our customers better on those bigger days.
Well, that's certainly good. I was fortunate to be there for both of them, and they certainly were, seemed like good days, seemed like nice crowds and people having a good time, and huge betting on the Arlington Million. I mean, that shattered every prior Colonial Downs record.
Sure. It was, I think, close to almost twice as much as we've ever had wagered at Colonial, and as it should be. I mean, we're looking at two grade ones and a grade two. We should be able to $10 million, I think, just shy of $10 million. We ought to be able to generate the kind of handle that other tracks do that have those types of races, and I think it was a great start.
Yeah, you just referenced the grade two in specific I want to talk about for a minute. That was the grade two Secretariat, and kind of cool to have the Secretariat Stakes run in the state of Secretariat's birth, run over the track named for Secretariat. And then while you're at it, why don't you have it be won by a Virginia bred in Gigante? What kind of a cool moment was that for you and for the Virginia thoroughbred community?
It's so great. And it's so great to see a breeder like Mr. and Ms. Backer that have been doing it for so long be able to breed that kind of horse. But the even better part of it is we had the governor and first lady, and we're very lucky here in Virginia. The first lady and the governor are very supportive of horse racing and horses in general. But I couldn't have hired a marketing company to speak about Virginia racing more than the governor did on TV that day. They had the best time. They came down there. The governor was telling everybody how great Virginia racing was, and we need to come to Virginia. And the best thing is a couple weeks later, The governor was supposed to come, but he got tied up something else. But the first lady made a special trip down to the backside to get to see Gigante and get her picture taken with the horse. And how often does that happen with any politician, much less the governor and the first lady?
Yeah, no, maybe Marilyn could borrow them for a minute or two.
Exactly. Everybody needs them. And maybe we'll get them one day that way.
Yeah. Let's hope. We're talking with Debbie Easter of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, Virginia Equine Alliance. And Debbie, one big change, obviously, was the shift from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday racing to Thursday, Friday, Saturday racing. I know that was an area of concern for a lot of people. What are the early returns now that you've had a season of weekend racing?
So it's interesting, and I think it's a little too early, and we got to look at a lot of the numbers. But you look at overall handle, and we were actually under handle even with the big day of $10 million on Arlington Million. We were under handle from last year, which tells you that, hey, we had built ourselves a pretty nice little niche on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The number of horses in race was down just a little bit, but not as much as actually we expected. We expected it to be about a horse a race because of having to run against you all up in Maryland, which we didn't want to do. I think we picked up horses more horses from Maryland, but I do think that it made it much more difficult. It felt like, and these are numbers we have to check, it felt like we didn't have as many of folks from up your way that supported us over the years run as many horses. Now, I know I said that and we went and checked a couple trainers and my feeling was totally untrue, but looking at it, it felt that way. I think that still, if we're going to make this successful in the Mid-Atlantic, we've got to figure out some way that Maryland and Virginia work together. It's just silly that we're running against each other now. It's always been silly. It's always why we wanted to have the circuit. And I'm hoping that the track managers can figure out a way to make this work a little better, because I think it'll be positive for both states if we can.
I think that's clearly true, especially in a time of declining foal crops. There just aren't enough horses to go around. So the more innovatively we can share things, the better it is for everybody. One thing I did want to ask you about, because it seems like it was a pretty admirable safety record at the Colonial Meet. Talk about that.
No, I think that especially in these times, any time that you can say, to my knowledge, we didn't have a catastrophic breakdown. We all know what a good turf course that Colonial has, our little secret is how good the dirt course is there also. But I think we were very fortunate. I think that everybody, this all started with Jill Byrne when we reopened the track, but I think everybody's very committed. From the racing commission to the people that run the backside to the trainers, very committed in trying to run racing as safely as we possibly can in Virginia. I mean, let's face it, we're a little bit lucky. We get to run, 90% of our races on what the stats say are the surface, or is the safest surface that you can run on, the turf. So we probably benefit quite a bit from that. But secondly is that, as everybody knows,
Shug McGahee and Debbie Easter and Frank Vespi all want to see some return of, in some format, the Maryland-Virginia racing circuit. So, Frank, we got some consensus. We just got to figure out how.
Yeah, it's one of those ideas that everybody agrees is the right idea, and then it never happens. So I guess stay tuned, because I do think the future portends likely fewer days in Maryland. So if there are going to be fewer days, and I think there really are going to be, then some kind of circuit really starts to make a lot of sense.
Pimlico has a big day today. Just some thoughts about the the racing Wolfie's Dyna Ghost is going to go up against Shug's horse. What do you who are like sort of just some quick top plays, what you might be looking for on the racing biz?
Well, I think that I think the Turf Cup ends up being a really interesting race. You've got highest distinction for Lindsay Schultz, a young trainer who got her first stakes win at Colonial during this meet with Alex June. You know, this is a horse that really wasn't doing much of anything, and now all of a sudden is a stakes winner and is a logical player. You mentioned Wolfie's Dyna Ghost, Smoking Tea. I mean, it's a pretty fun race, and you've got, you know, you've got three turf stakes. You got the All Along, you got the Ben's Cat, you got a couple on the dirt. And one other race I want to quickly point to, Nick, is the Cape Henlopen Stakes at Delaware Park this afternoon on the turf. That is a race that includes, among other horses, Tawny Port. And people might remember Tawny Port. He was a pretty credible seventh place in last year's Kentucky Derby, two-time graded winner on the dirt. Now trying to kind of extend his career on the turf. Old friend Trevor McCarthy going to be on him. I keep an eye on that. I think that's going to be an interesting, a pretty interesting race, and I'm curious to see how Tawny Port does.
Weather all good today up at Pimlico?
It's like Chamber of Commerce day here. It's perfect.
That's great. I'll draw a line through doppelganger and business model then.
I for think the you can do that. Yep.
Great. Frank, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week. Off to the races, and theracingbiz.com all week when you're not listening to us.
All right. Sounds good, Nick. Have a good day, and look forward to talking with you soon.
Frank Vespi joining us on his way to Pimlico, Hi-Ho Pimlico today, where racing has resumed up in Maryland. And we also have started a new track here. Not really a new track, an old track at Shenandoah Downs. This is a pretty remarkable story. If this guy ends up doing something in the harness world, he very well may end up crediting Daryl Wood with getting his start, because Daryl runs that contest where you own a horse for a day. And that's where Scott Wetzel, who lives very close by to Shenandoah Downs, that's what perked his interest in getting involved in racing. This is what he had to say about owning a horse for a day, the contest that got him started.
Own a horse for a day contest. Took a every weekend they draw four names out of people who entered, and they drew my name one weekend, and 2 weeks later they had the race, and that's kind of how it started. We drawed chips. I got a horse that actually was the long shot horse of the day, and ended up winning. And the winner got to keep all the people who participated got to keep the purse of that horse's money for the day. So it was $5,250 pay purse, I believe, and I got $2,625 of that. So it was a pretty nice start. And then after that, I just took that money and bought my first horse.
So you owned a horse, and then you went and bought another. How many horses do you own now?
I got seven now.
You have seven horses.
Well, seven race horses. I got some brood mares and a yearling that we're going to put in training for next year.
So seven horses. Now, what was your experience with horses or horse racing before the Own a Horse for a Day contest?
No, I didn't have no experience. I mean, I really wasn't even around horses much all my life, except watching them at the fairs every year. At the fair, we would watch them race in there and draw spoons and bet on them in a fun way, but that was about it.
What brought you to Shenandoah Downs that one day when you showed up?
Oh, I go there. I live right here. I live right beside them. I'm like 5 minutes away, and I go to the fair, and I have 4-H animals. My daughter was showing at the time when I actually won that contest. She was showing bleached sheep that year, and you know, during the day we went up and sat down in the grandstands and watched the harness racing, and it was a rainy day, and I didn't even think it was going to race, but there was only a handful of people in the grandstand, so like maybe six or eight people was all there because it was just pouring down rain, but they still race went on, and I was lucky enough to be one of the six or eight that was left there to own a horse for a day.
I'm assuming that, or maybe I shouldn't say be presumptuous, but have you won a race yet?
Yes, I have won. I won at our fair this year. I became a trainer in July of this year, and so I went out, and I had already owned, I believe, five horses. So I've bought a couple more since then and got rid of a one, so... at our fair this year, I won my first start, and then I won on the last day of the fair, I won another race, and I actually drove in that race as well, finished fourth on one of my other horses. That was my first driving. I'm trying to get my driver's license as well.
So right into from fan to owner to trainer to driver, how has your daily schedule changed?
Oh, it's a big change. I mean, it's every day, you know, up at crack of dawn, feeding, jogging, taking care of the horses and getting them ready for the next race. I'm actually jogging a horse right now as we're speaking.
Doesn't sound like it. It must be little muffled wheels.
Yeah.
So what was that experience like to go to win a race? I mean, it must have been very rewarding. What was it like? What did you do? What did you do with your earnings?
Well, I told my wife when I won, I said, I'm hooked on this sport. I said, I'm going to buy a horse. She said, no, you're not. And I said, yep, I'm going to take this money and put it aside, and we're going to find us a horse, and we're going to buy it. So that's what we ended up doing. And then I had a trainer, of course, then, because I like I said, I just got my trainer's license in July. So I had a trainer who was actually the horse that I won with. It was his horse. And after I think it was like two or three weeks later, I talked to some people around the fair, and they said that he would be a good person to hook up with, and if you wanted to buy horses, he would train them for you because he was close to us. Everybody else is like Kentucky or Pennsylvania or New York, but he was out of Maryland. He was really close, so I could actually go see the horses when we wanted to as well. So once that started, once we got a horse, and you know, then I started going to some of the races and learning. I would travel to Rosecroft Raceway every Sunday and Tuesday night and just help him in the paddock and learning the business. That went on for almost 2 years, and then I decided to go out and do it myself since Shenandoah was so close to home, and it just made sense to I loved it so much, it just made sense for me to go ahead and try to just be my own trainer and train my own horses. That's kind of where I'm at today.
Go ahead.
I said that's where I'm at today. Actually, I had a cattle farm, a beef operation, and I sold that, and I bought a horse farm about 10 miles away, and have a 19-stall barn, and I have a track that's located right beside my property. The neighbors, they let me use it, so that's where I jog and exercise my horses every day on that.
That's great. What do you have in front of you for the meet, either today or down the road? What are you looking forward to with it being essentially opening day of the harness meet with the Shenandoah Fair meet behind us now?
Yeah, we got I got five horses in today. I got one horse that I just purchased that's never won a race. He's going to be in the second race. I'm really looking forward to see how he performs. And then I got four other horses in there, and just hope for the best. But yeah.
Well, what do you make? You've been to Rosecroft, you've been to Shenandoah Downs. What do you just make of Shenandoah Downs as a throwback track?
I like Shenandoah Downs. It's a half mile, tight cornered track. It fits some of my horses fit it really good, and then I have some that really struggle a little bit with it. But luckily, Rosecroft's close by, and Rosecroft opens up. So I'll be able to take, you know, the ones that don't do as good on this track there. But just being in my backyard, Shenandoah Downs, it's great. The fans are good. The food's good. For not being in it as long, I'm just, you know, glad that there's somewhere close by here that I don't have to travel so far to race. And now that it's twice a year, it makes it even better. I just wish it was longer weeks. Instead of 7 weeks, I'd like to see it be about 10 or 12 weeks.
Yeah, looking for that longer meet. I think we all are. Solar Bolt, 2-1 in the morning line in the second race. American Sobrero, 6-1 in the fourth race. Sea of Life, 2-1 in the sixth race. Windermere Frank, 4-1 in the ninth race. Then in the 10th race, Freddie Farbs at 8-1. So a pretty good chance he's going to pick up a win today. So good luck to the newest owner of Thoroughbreds, Steve Wetzel, who will compete at Shenandoah Downs today. So, just a great conclusion to the Colonial Downs meet, start of the harness meet at Shenandoah Downs. Want to maybe just quickly here in the waning moments of the show give you some of the other winners that we normally would talk. You know, it's a one-hour show. Harrisonburg, you got the whole show this week. So you don't have to listen online for the second hour. Only 1 hour, but we got Nobles who won the DeHaas with Pablo Morales aboard. Talk Talk won the Kitten's Joy. Jorge Ruiz aboard, the winner there. So and then No Nay Metz actually was a very – look for this horse in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, this horse is just going to be a giant in the Breeders' Cup. 30 Thou Kelvin actually won the Virginia Oaks as well. So, and then the last one there, starting over in the 11th race, the Colonial Cup. Want to thank everybody that was on our show today. Daryl Wood, Shug McGahee, Debbie Easter via Frank Vespi, and of course, Steve Wetzel. Good luck today. Tune us in next week for Off to the Races. I'll be at home for a show finally. Even though I'm looking at a basketball here, a Final Four basketball signed by Shaka Smart here in the studio. There's all kinds of stuff in here. Might spend